This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. The origins of the modern UFO phenomenon began during World War II and really kicked off with what's known as the Roswell incident in 1947. Around the same time, thousands of people across Scandinavia were reporting missile-like objects in the sky. Over the intervening decades, an entire culture has emerged, from books and films to declassified documents and even recently congressional hearings. In July 2023, there were congressional hearings featuring three witnesses, including a man named David Grush, who was former National Reconnaissance Office representative to the U.S. government's UAP task force. UFOs, unidentified flying objects, have been recently rebranded as UAPs, or unidentified aerial phenomena. The other two witnesses at those hearings were retired Navy pilots. Commander David Fravor, he's the pilot involved in the famous 2004 so-called Tic Tac incident off the coast of California, and Lieutenant Ryan Graves, who flew F-18s for the Navy. They both testified that UAP sightings were not rare or isolated. David Grush testified that the United States government is operating a long-term secret, quote, crash retrieval and reverse engineering program, end quote, and he alleged that this program has recovered, quote, non-human spacecraft, and in some cases, dead pilots, which are being hidden from public and congressional oversight. This testimony happened before Congress and was widely reported on, including by NPR and other major news outlets. Then President Trump recently posted, quote, based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life. Some people believe there is evidence that can be produced that proves the existence of non-human life or intelligence present here on Earth. Others believe this whole idea is either a delusion or misinformation that is designed to distract. In 1969, a group was formed called MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, with a goal of turning a fact-based, skeptical eye to claims of UFO encounters, but also with an open-minded approach that takes reports seriously enough to seek evidence to support or disprove claims. I spoke recently with a member of MUFON's Florida branch to learn about the work they do and to get her take on the times that we're in. Let's hear that now. Rusty Hester is the Assistant State Director for MUFON Florida. Welcome to the show, Rusty.
Hi, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So for starters, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how long you've been involved with or connected to MUFON?
So I live in the Tampa, Florida area and moved down here from Chicago about 12 years ago. I've always been interested in UFOs because I've had sightings, and I had some right after I moved to Florida as well, and I kept seeing more, so I thought I better report it to somebody, and I found out about MUFON, so I reported it, and then I joined them as a member because I wanted to see other people's sightings. If you're a member, you can go on their website, and you can look at the last 20 reports, and I wanted to see if anybody saw something like what I saw. After I put in a couple cases, I decided I would like to be a field investigator, so I did their classes and became an investigator so that I could figure out what these are that I've been seeing and what everybody else has been seeing. MUFON is a grassroots organization. It is a 501c. We are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. And MUFON was formed, I think it was the late 60s, and it was actually called the Midwest UFO Network. And it was a group of guys that were out of the Midwest, and after a while, they turned it into Mutual UFO Network and went international. And so we have hundreds of field investigators, and I think we have, I think, about 20-something in Florida. And it's a great organization to be with, especially when you're with like-minded people.
How long ago was that you started digging up information on MUFON because you saw something?
Let's see, around 2020 is when I found out about MUFON because I was Googling how to put a site, who I would report a sighting to.
Can you explain what kind of training you get when you first, you know, became engaged and wanted to become an investigator?
Yes. So they have you order the book. It's a big manual. You take an open book test. You also have to do MUFON University. It's an online, as well as doing the test, and online modules that you take. They teach you how to do astronomy, how to use Flight Radar 24, anything that can help identify what people are seeing. We are really into making sure that we're making critical judgment. We don't, not everything is going to be a UFO. So that's what they're teaching us, is how to find an unknown and then how to figure out what it really is if it's not an unknown. I would say about 90% of ours are airplanes or rockets, you know, that kind of stuff. And so with MUFON University, they teach us all that.
Are MUFON members necessarily people who believe in the existence of non-human or non-Earth-originated life?
I would have to say that I have not met one that is not a believer, but every one of them that I have met are critical thinkers. And a lot of military are in it, a lot of ex-pilots, and a lot of everyday people like me.
I was going to ask, I've had several conversations with somebody from the Center for Inquiry, which are the skeptic community folks who've been around since like the 70s, and they were founded on the notion that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And I feel like there's some overlap with what you guys are trying to do in this realm.
Yeah, I would have to say so too. For us, we're really critical thinking and we're really trying our hardest to find out what this is. Because even when we give a disposition to somebody that saw something, they're happy when they found out that, oh my gosh, okay, it was the space station. I'm happy to know that. So it brings me just as much happiness to be able to tell people that what they see is, you know, when we figure it out. Some people are upset about it though. They know that they saw a UFO, and you know, you have to just say, okay, thank you very much, and let us know if you see anything else again. And you know,
So people will file a report, and you have volunteers around the country. Can you explain sort of some examples or maybe the scope of what those reports entail, and then how it's decided whether somebody like yourself will go out and contact the person and do some sort of investigation?
so anytime anybody puts a report in, you go to MUFON.com and it says report a sighting. And also it says report an abduction. So you can do two of those, pick one or the other, or sometimes it's both. Basically, the person will go to the computer, do that, put in exactly what they saw. They may add videos, they can add pictures to the file. They type in exactly what describe what they've seen. And then our form that they fill out is extensive, like asking them what degrees on the horizon was it. Some people don't know, but they can kind of guess. We actually, within one day, we're given the report, and then we contact the person. We don't typically have to go on site unless it's an up close encounter and where there may be some physical evidence or some trace evidence. It's mostly done online. We can Zoom with the witness and or talk to him on the phone. And before we even contact him, we've done our side of the work by checking Flight Radar 24, all weather reports, wind direction. We want to check just everything there is before we even talk to the person. Hopefully have it figured out what it is before we talk to him.
You said about 90% of the time it turns out to be the space station or some other explainable phenomena. In the 10%, is it that you can't find evidence of something that disproves it, or you can find evidence that proves it's something?
Well, we can't prove that it's anything that is like a balloon or something. We can't, because the wind direction, we can't prove. So we put in that it's an unknown, and unknown also means that maybe it's military that's testing new stuff, but that's still an unknown because it's not known yet to the public about this new stuff from the military. Like the flight speed, some of these objects go so fast that it's like a blink of an eye. You know that we don't really have that technology, and either do any does nobody else has it. So, I mean, we're not for sure about that, but thousands of miles an hour, and these pilots who who've seen it, they say, we don't have that technology.
Think at least some people listening will have recognized over the last maybe 5 years there's been a change in name from UFO to UAP, at least in some contexts. Can you, I mean, as far as I can tell from reading up on it, that was actually something that the Pentagon adopted, the UAP thing. But can you provide any clarity on that?
We believe that they just change the name every so often so that people don't hear the word UFO anymore. They want to kind of get away from that. As soon as UAP begins to sound like a UFO, they're going to change it again. They want to just derail the situation.
So you mentioned at the beginning that you started to get involved with MUFON because you saw something with your own eyes or you had an experience. Can you give us an idea of what that was?
Yeah, I had an encounter before I moved to Florida, and it was kind of an up-close encounter. It was this big orange orb, I guess I would call it. It was coming down the highway. It was probably about 10 o'clock at night. I was in my bedroom, and I had just gone to bed. And my husband was sleeping, and I tried to wake him up to see if he could look at this. And he came over to the window, and the light turned off. And then he was like, all right, I'm going back to bed. So he went back to bed, and it came back on, and it was getting closer. At one point, it was basically across the street from our house, above our neighbor's house. And I had to grab tissues because my eyes were watering. It was so bright. And after about 30 seconds, it shot across the sky. And my neighbor at the time was a police officer on duty overnight. When he drove by the next morning, I was outside taking my kids to the mailbox. I asked him if he had any reports. I didn't even get it out of my mouth. And he said he saw it too. So whatever it was something that was reported, and the officer saw it.
Were there any other MUFON reports that you were able to find?
I found one that was related after I signed up. Now, this was before I was an investigator, so I did look up around that time, and I found a couple things that matched what I saw in the same town where I was from, but I didn't remember the date, so it could possibly be that. But in, let's see, it was December of 2021, I was outside of my, actually it was 2020 because it was during COVID. I had a puppy and I took him outside. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a sphere, and it was to the west of my house above a power line. It looked like the moon. And it was a very clear day, except there was one cloud and it was kind of hanging out of that side of the cloud. It was so big, I put my fist up in front of me and you could see it still came out of the side of my fist. It was very large. It looked exactly like the moon. So I went to my garage to grab my binoculars thinking, oh, I'm going to go see the moon is really low in the sky right now. And when I turned around, I saw the moon in the eastern sky, but way up. And I thought, okay, this is really weird. So I started taking pictures of it and it just started dissipating in front of me. And in one of the pictures, there's a small triangle craft or something flying near it. I then came in the house, and that's when I started Googling, who do I report this to? Because I know that I saw something anomalous at that point. And it even actually made my hair stand up on my arms. I don't know if it was because there was any kind of electricity coming from it, but it was close to me, like within a mile. I then reported it to MUFON, and nobody else reported it that day in Tampa, but I did find somebody on National UFO Reporting Agency that reported it. And I think that this person might have been in Plant City that saw it, which is not that far from me. That's what made me become a field investigator. And I also had a sighting in Lake Wales, Florida. I went to this place called the Westgate Dude Ranch. My girlfriends and I went glamping there. And we were out on this hog cart with a guy that was giving us a tour around the swamp. And I saw something up in the sky. And at that time, it was before the Tic Tac thing came out on the news. I would describe this as a Tic Tac. It looked exactly what they described. And I told the guy driving the cart to please stop. I took a picture of it. And it looked like a white cylinder with a little division in the middle of it. And within about 1 minute of it, and we were all staring at it, then there was two F-16s that flew overhead, and this thing shot straight up into the sky and disappeared in 1 second. And then the F-16s flew off.
When you refer to Tic Tac, there's a sort of now famous video shot by some sort of military aircraft that shows something that looks like a Tic Tac. It's something people can Google if they want to see it themselves at this
Yeah,
point,
like a
right?
cylinder.
I would like to take a moment to reintroduce my guest. Rusty Hester is Assistant State Director for MUFON Florida. MUFON stands for the Mutual UFO Network. It was founded in 1969. It's the world's oldest and largest civilian organization dedicated to investigating and researching unidentified flying objects and unidentified aerial phenomena sightings. They've got thousands of members worldwide who investigate UFO sightings, study physical evidence, and conduct fact-driven research to understand the UAP phenomenon. If you'd like to engage with the show about this topic, find us on our social media. We are WGCU Public Media on Instagram and Facebook. So, plenty of UAP stuff in the news of late, including President Donald Trump. He recently posted that he was going to be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files in this realm. What are your thoughts from the MUFON perspective about that?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to happen. I've been hopeful. Before he was running for president, he promised that was one of his things that he was going to do the first 2 weeks. We're still waiting on it, though. But we're all very hopeful about it, and I feel like it's coming. There's all the Congress and stuff. Like, I know Marco Rubio recently even made some comments about it. President Trump's son has a podcast. I have not listened to it, but apparently, he made some announcements too, saying that his dad was going to release all of this stuff. And now, with the other day, I guess the government was registering alien.gov and aliens.gov. Some are speaking that it's a possibility this might be something where they're going to list some of their videos and stuff, and that we'll be able to see. This is all part of the disclosure that's coming forward. We could only hope. But I don't get my hopes up.
I don't follow this world entirely that closely, but I do kind of keep tabs on it. And it seems like there's been a lot of, we're going to have this soon moments in recent years that have turned out to not have something.
Apparently in July, there's a rumor going around that around the anniversary of Roswell is when he's going to come up with it, which is, I think, July 7th, around that time, that he's going to give disclosure. After watching all the congressional hearings, though, of course, I would love it to be said so that all my friends and people who are non-believers can believe it. But after listening to David Grush and saying that there are non-human entities that we have in our bases and stuff, I already have disclosure for myself. So I already believe and I know.
David Grush is who testified before Congress in 2023, and he had government jobs in the area around UAP. Did anything come of that? I think he's now working for a Missouri congressman who's working on this or something like that.
Nothing's come about it because he can only say so much according to his non-disclosure and how much he was allowed to say when he was given, I guess the DOD gave access to him. They declassified some things, but during the hearings, he kept saying he had to go to a SCIF room, secret compartmentalized room, to be able to tell them other things. So I don't really think anything more has come of it, but him sitting up there and saying, yes, we have non-human entities in our possession. Yes, he was very firm about that. So that's a big deal.
You know, only within the past few years has it become possible for people to create fake video evidence that looks real. Does that complicate what might be coming in terms of disclosure that seems real and has evidence, but maybe it's entirely fabricated or vice versa?
Well, it could have a problem, yeah, especially for people who don't know videos very well and stuff like that. Like MUFON has photo forensics, and they'd be able to figure that out in a minute. Photo forensic people can figure out that in just a few minutes. So I don't really feel like that's going to be a problem for MUFON or other people really following closely with it, but it's going to definitely give a problem to people who are not versed on this.
Another perspective that I'm sure you've heard or are familiar with is people saying that, you know, President Trump announcing he's going to disclose and things like that are part of a distraction campaign because there's so many other things that, you know, deserve attention that this could suck the oxygen out of the air. What do you think of that perspective?
Well, I believe that if he's going to come up with it, I think that it's going to be true because there's way too many people that they've talked to about this. But yeah, it could be a diversion to get away from other subjects. But when he comes out with it, I believe it's going to be true. So I'm sure this is not the first on their list at this point with all the problems that are going on. But it's obvious that the people want to know, and we're not giving up until it's done.
I talked on this show back in 2010 with somebody from MUFON. I forget his name, but there were a series of reported sightings around Marco Island, including a statement from the Isle of Capri fire rescue chief, a guy named Emilio Rodriguez. And I say all that to say, is this something that happens a lot in Florida? Do you get a lot of reports from Florida relative to other parts of the country?
We do get a lot of reports. Florida is a hot spot, always has been. We're up at the top of the list with Texas and California. I believe that's also true because everybody's outdoors here at nighttime and it's not cold. So that does give us the advantage to getting a lot more sighting reports. Also, with that being said, I feel like lately we haven't been getting as many reports. That is because there are so many new reporting agencies out there. You have National UFO Reporting Agency. They've been around for a long time, and it's New Fork. And then we've got Enigma Labs that we find out is probably ran by the government. They've got a high payroll. There's Arrow, which is another government UFO reporting agency. There are so many. All you have to do is Google them, and you'll get handfuls of them. So now when people Google, you're going to get at the top of the list Enigma Labs and Arrow because they put money into being able to get the top seed in those. Whereas MUFON, we're a non-for-profit. We don't have that much money. So we're lately not at the top, but we're working on it. We're working on it. They're saying that.
Did I pick up on, you know, in reading on this, it seemed like some of the new things that have emerged and maybe even some of the ones that have been around for a while get criticism from the MUFON perspective because they may not try to be as skeptical and fact-based as what MUFON aims for.
Yeah, I would say that.
What about the drone sightings that were all over the news in 2024? Did anything ever come of that you know of?
It's really weird because it kind of came and went, but every now and then you'll get drones again up there or, you know, all over the place, you'll get them. But that whole wave, they think that was definitely drones, but also UFO related at the same time. So that is something that is not in concrete. We don't know, but there was a lot of reporters up there and MUFON people that saw them and they could tell the difference between a drone and a UAP. They could tell. So it could have been a little bit of both.
Do you have any investigations that you're participating in right now? Or, you know, how often does something come across your desk that you spend time on?
Right now I'm working on a case that I am done with. And we have probably 20-something investigators here in Florida, and we all get to take turns taking cases. So because of the caseload has gone down now, we're not getting a ton of them, but I've got a pretty good case that came through that I just finished in Tampa. Because I'm in Tampa, they try to give us the cases that are closer to our area. But if I get 4 cases in Tampa and nobody else has a case, I'm going to pass it on to somebody else. The case that I'm working on, do you want to hear a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's an ERT case. So this is called Experience or Resource Team. And that's a part of MUFON that doesn't really investigate, but we help by listening to the person who've had a close-up encounter or an abduction. We call them experiencers. We just listen to them. And then at the end, if they want to get regression therapy, we can send them to a vetted hypnotherapist or regression therapist in their area. Or, you know, they just maybe want to tell somebody that they haven't been able to tell because they're scared. They don't want people to think they're crazy. So this sighting that I worked on was not a UFO sighting, but it is something that happened on November 6th in 2025 at the casino in Tampa, the Hard Rock Casino. And I am going to be speaking about this at the MUFON International Symposium. There was a couple that came into the casino, Tom and Dixie, and this is their real names. They told me I could give their real name. 80 years old. They do have their wits about them. They were waiting for dinner reservations at the Italian restaurant, and Tom was about three rows over from the restaurant, and Dixie was about one row next to the restaurant. Tom noticed this tall, platinum blonde being. He called it, it would look like a woman, but it was so tall, like 7 to 7.5 foot tall, because when it stood up, it was as tall as the machine. This gentleman is a an observer. That's what he did for work, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Basically, he kept staring at it on and off. Platinum blonde hair, very skinny, super long neck, long hands, long arms. It stared mechanically at the slot machine. It had its arms on the slot machine, just staring in. It wouldn't blink, but every now and then it did. All movements by this thing were mechanical and not human-like. So he walked over to his wife about 5 minutes after kind of observing this, and he said, "Look at that over there." And all of a sudden, this thing was in the next aisle next to them in row two. And he and her were like, "Oh my gosh, look at," they were just talking about how it looked, and they kept looking and then looking away, and it would stare at them. And then all of a sudden, it would be at another machine around them, and it moved three times, but they never saw it move. It was as they turned away to talk to each other. All of a sudden, it was in a new machine. And it had big teeth, she said, red lipstick, bright blonde hair, very tall and skinny, with the longest neck she's ever seen. When she finally got to go to the restaurant with her husband, it was still there. She sat down at the table and she decided she wanted to walk past it. So she told her husband she was going to the bathroom. She walked up to it and she said, "Are you real?" It was kind of crouched down on the ground with its arms touching the ground and touching its ankles. And she looked kind of up at it, about 12 inches from its face. And when she said that, it spoke back to her telepathically, "Yes, I am." And she wasn't scared of it at all. She sat there and told it was beautiful. It was perfect looking. She said the skin was like porcelain, and she said she just couldn't stop staring at it. So she went back to the dinner table. She told her husband that she had talked to it, and he couldn't believe she did that. But they hurried up and ate so they could come back out. When they were done eating, it was no longer there. So they searched for it and searched. They couldn't find it. Well, the whole encounter was about an hour, and when they got done telling me, he decided he wanted to let me know about the rest of the story. He was a 30-year retired Army lieutenant colonel, and he worked in the White House and worked directly under President Reagan, Bush, and Clinton, and he worked in a form of government called shadow government. He was in charge of emergency management at the White House for 30 years almost. And he said that he then worked for 10 years for an aerospace company that was, I believe now is Lockheed Martin, but at the time it wasn't. And he has a 40-year disclosure. But he said this isn't the first time that he's seen something. And I said, "Can you elaborate on any of this?" And he said, "No, not when I'm in the military." But he said, "I'm not now, so I don't care if you give my name." He told me that he knew every twist and turn of the White House underneath ground and everything. And I looked him up, his military career, and found him to be telling the truth by finding lots of talks that he's gone to, engagement with dinners and stuff for military dinners and things like that. So I know he is who he said he was, and I totally believe that they saw something. They both told me that this being was there for only them to see it. My friend was a security management for the Hard Rock and just retired last year, and he told me there's no way that they'd be able to get that film because it's not anything you can even do a FOIA request for, because they have their own I guess, Indian police thing, the Seminoles there.
Yeah, and it's a
But
and it's a and it's a casino, so I'm sure they're very,
yeah,
very.
they're never going to do that. So basically, no video will ever come of it. But they were quite certain that if security were to look at the videos, which my friend was going to call his friends that still work there and ask them if they could look at the video and let him know, he said there would be nobody there at there. It would be an empty chair, and that woman would have been crouching down, looking up at air, because he said, "We know that was just there for us." And that goes back to his military career. I got the feeling that he's seen her before.
Would that be typical of the kind of thing you would come across, or would that be a more outlier or shocking or, intense experience that you
That's
would
an
look into?
intense experience, and that's kind of a shocking thing. But the thing that's interesting about this case is he described a being called a Nordic. I had read a book recently called Millennial Hospitality by an ex-military man, and there's a documentary about him called Walking with the Tall Whites, and he was stationed in Nevada. And exactly what he described is what this being was in the casino. And some of the things he described in his book that he wrote was that these beings that were Nordics that lived out where they, well, I don't know if they lived out there, but they were in the desert and he came upon them. They would go to the casinos and dress up with some of the generals and stuff. I know it sounds completely outlandish, and if I would have heard this before, I probably would have laughed about it. But it's in his book that he says is true life, what happened with him and things that he knows about. So I just made those two correlations, and it was interesting. But again, that's not a sighting of a craft. There was another sighting that was pretty cool down in the Sarasota area, if you want to hear that too.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
This case was MUFON case 134831, and it was on October 16th of 23. The investigator on this case, his name is Jay. He's a great investigator, and this happened about 4 p.m. at the Sarasota airport. And I think it was, I forgot the gate. I don't have the case open right now, but it happened at the gate. And a sphere went by the window, and this man videoed the sphere going by. It was a metallic sphere, and it went right by the windows where people were standing, waiting for their flights to board. It's kind of made some news over the social media and stuff, but it was quite a stir. He did a FOIA request. There was nothing that came back, I don't think, and then made a call to the FAA, the tower, and he was able to talk to somebody. They didn't have anything on radar for that, but they referred him to talk to Bigelow Industries, which is a man that was affiliated with UFO stuff, and he owns aerospace stuff. So that was interesting for him to be referred to him. But that was a pretty good case, because there's been some sphere cases like that all over. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Buga sphere.
I have not.
Yeah, you might want to look that up. That's really interesting. But these spheres that are metallic, they're being sighted all over the place. There was two reported just recently by pilots going alongside aircrafts. We had many of these sightings here in Florida with these spheres. They're about the size of a basketball.
Well, unfortunately, Rusty, we're pretty much out of time, but I guess
Okay.
my final question is, do you think that if there, if whether it be through the government or we end up with some sort of evidence that seems irrefutable, how do you think it would impact, us culturally? It seems like right now we can't decide on anything together, that anything that came out might be, fought over somehow. Like, what are your, the
Yeah.
people in the world of MUFON, like, what do you think about the way we would respond to it societally?
Yeah, so that's a great question. First of all, I do believe that the UFO people on both sides have been working hard together on it. So I never really hear any fighting over it between Democrats and Republicans, which makes me happy. But I feel if they come out with this and the impact it's going to have is not anything horrible. I think day in day life is just going to keep on going on like it is now. I have a salon. I own a hair salon. So the deeply religious people that sit in my chair, I've asked them this question, how would you feel if this came about? And they all tell me, well, why would God create just Earth in his manner? I would believe that if he created Earth, he could have created life on other planets elsewhere. So that's the same thing that I keep getting from everybody who are very religious. I do get people saying, oh, that is the devil, that's the devil. But again, they're not afraid if this information comes out because they believe they're protected because they're Christian. I believe that nothing financially is going to happen. I just think it's just going to be another day, and excitement is going to happen for a few weeks, and more people will come out because they're not going to be afraid anymore to tell their story because the stigma is going away, and it's really going to help people come forward. It's going to impact positively, is what I feel.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about what MUFON is and does, because I know this has been in the news a lot. But I want to thank my guest, Rusty Hester, is Assistant State Director for MUFON Florida. Thank you so much for your time, Rusty.
Thank you very much.